NetSuite by Oracle is the number one cloud financial system, no matter how big your business grows. Special financing is back. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program for those ready to graduate from QuickBooks to NetSuite today. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet right now.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, June 14th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Hackers who carry out ransomware attacks usually demand payment in the form of cryptocurrency, which is often thought to be anonymous and untraceable. But last week, the FBI said it had retrieved part of a ransom paid by Colonial Pipeline by following the money from digital wallet to digital wallet. On today's episode, what we know about how they did it and what this could mean for the fight against ransomware. That's after these headlines. House lawmakers proposed a raft of bipartisan legislation on Friday aimed at reining in big tech, including a bill that would effectively force Amazon and other big tech companies to break up their businesses or shed their private label products. The path forward for the legislation is unclear. In order to become law, it would need to be passed by the Democratic-led House, as well as the Senate, where it would probably also need significant Republican support. Here's our reporter Dana Mattioli with more.
What we do know is that both Republicans and Democrats signed on to each of the bills. And antitrust and big tech seem to be the one area that both the Republicans and the Democrats agree on. You know, it's obviously very fractured between the two sides, but when you really dig into the details of the business practices of these companies, there is a lot of agreement across the aisle.
Neither Amazon nor other big tech companies commented on the proposed legislation Friday. All of them have defended their competitive practices and said they operate their products and services to benefit customers. And McDonald's said last week that hackers stole data from its systems in markets including the U.S., South Korea, and Taiwan. McDonald's said it cut off hackers' access to data soon after the breach was identified and that business at its restaurants wasn't disrupted. McDonald's said the breach was not a ransomware attack and that it didn't make any payment to the hackers. All right, coming up next, we'll stay on the topic of cyber attacks. Law enforcement said it was able to retrieve part of a Bitcoin ransom paid to the Colonial Pipeline hackers. But is it a breakthrough in dealing with these kinds of attacks? We'll have more after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Athena Health, creator of innovative electronic medical record, revenue cycle, patient engagement, care coordination, and population health services for medical practices and health systems. Some healthcare IT companies have just begun to move toward connected systems. Athena Health started there. See how their unparalleled nationwide network of providers enables the insights that drive better clinical and financial outcomes. Learn more at athenahealth.com.
Amid a recent rise in ransomware attacks, many companies are choosing to make payments to hackers to try and regain access to their computer systems. Colonial Pipeline, for instance, paid $4.4 million. Usually, these sorts of ransom payments are made in Bitcoin or some other cryptocurrency, since they've been seen by hackers as harder to trace than more traditional money. But last week, the FBI said it was able to retrieve some of the Bitcoin that Colonial paid. So how'd they do it? And could this be an option for other ransomware victims? Our cybersecurity reporter, David Uberti, joins me now with some answers. Hey, Dave, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, Amanda.
Okay, so let's start with some of the basics here. How was the FBI able to get this Bitcoin back? What was their method here?
So it's a little bit unclear, but what we can glean from court documents and what the FBI has said publicly is essentially that they were able to get the Bitcoin address that Colonial sent this ransomware payment to, and then subsequently follow that amount of Bitcoin as hackers moved it between seven different Bitcoin addresses over the ensuing couple of weeks in May. It finally landed at a specific address on May 27th, to which the FBI actually had access. Now, the way that Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies work in general is that you have software programs or hardware known as wallets, and those can sort of collect different addresses where you can send Bitcoin to and from. There's also what you would refer to as a private key or a password that allows you to access those wallets. And the FBI for reasons unknown to us, has access to the private key of this particular Bitcoin wallet. And that's how they were able to pounce.
And as I understand it, this is only a portion of the money that Colonial Pipeline originally paid.
Colonial originally sent this hacking group known as DarkSide 75 Bitcoin in response for their ransom demand. Now, what the FBI was able to track was that the hackers split that money up over the course of time. And so the way that these hacker groups often operate is there's a core group of developers that actually have built the software that they deploy within companies, the ransomware, if you will. And then they essentially rent out the ability to use that software to what are known as affiliates. So what the FBI was able to deduce and what cybersecurity and crypto analysts have told us is that the money that the FBI was able to recover was actually the portion that was supposed to go to the affiliates rather than the developers themselves.
How big a deal is this that the FBI was able to get some of the Colonial Pipeline ransom money back? I mean, for hackers, isn't the whole point of making victims pay in cryptocurrency to avoid having those transactions traced?
Well, it's a big deal in certain ways in that the U.S. government needed a win against this growing threat of ransomware. I was kind of reminded when the FBI rolled this out last week of sort of cops when they throw money and drugs and guns on a table after a big bust of a gang. This is essentially what the FBI did with cryptocurrency after the Colonial hack and some of the recent fears of the proliferation of ransomware. And the FBI has said that they can sort of replicate this tactic in the future, and they hope to increasingly go after the financial infrastructure that ransomware attackers use. On the other hand, you know, this is arguably not a good policy outcome. They recovered roughly $2.3 million that Colonial sent of the $4.4 million that they paid. That's still a $2 million net gain for some of these hacking groups, in particular, some of those core developers that helped develop some of this ransomware. So in that sense, while this is a win, tactically speaking, for the FBI, the underlying question of how to deal with ransomware from a policy perspective really remains.
And not to mention, it seems like this is something that law enforcement has been able to do for a while, right? This is not a breakthrough tactic necessarily.
So FBI officials told us that they have recovered ransomware payments, or at least portions of ransomware payments in the past. But this is one of the first times they've publicly announced it in this way. The Justice Department has additionally recovered money from Silk Road, the online black market via cryptocurrency transactions. It's recovered money from crypto accounts that were intending to fund terrorist groups in the past. This is something that in recent years they've really developed an ability to do, and it kind of cuts against cryptocurrency's reputation as this hard to trace medium that is used by hackers or other people who don't operate in the traditional financial system.
So you mentioned that the FBI has said that this tactic of retrieving ransom payments is something that is replicable. But I have to ask, you know, this is coming amid a huge uptick in ransomware attacks. And despite government warnings, lots of companies are choosing to pay their ransom. You know, we learned last week, for instance, that the meatpacker JBS paid $11 million in ransom. So is getting the money back really an option on the table for all of these companies that are dealing with these attacks?
I mean, it seems unlikely that the FBI would be able to do this for every instance of ransomware. We only know of a small portion of some of these attacks that take place. And the reason why Colonial and JBS were such big deals is because these are companies that when they shut down operations, they're so big that it's really hard to not notice the effect of that in real time. I mean, one of the ironies of this entire situation is that the FBI tends to discourage companies from paying ransoms to hacker groups such as DarkSide. That said, if companies were not to pay some of these ransoms, there would be no money to follow in these situations. They wouldn't have this digital paper trail of all of these various Bitcoin transactions leading the FBI and other authorities to some of these hacker groups. So you have this weird juxtaposition where on the one hand, federal officials are really trumpeting their ability to seize some of this money, but at the same time, they kind of frown on companies when they decide to pay.
Dave, it sounds like you're telling me that the takeaway is that this has made the entire problem of ransomware more confusing and, you know, with less clear of a solution or kind of a path forward.
I mean, this is definitely, you know, one peg of what they're trying to do to sort of attack this problem. As I said earlier, the FBI and the U.S. government in general needed a win, particularly just given some of the warnings and fear that there's been with regard to ransomware in particular. That said, you know, taking this money back from DarkSid, they didn't affect the core group of developers, and they didn't really prevent them from carrying out future attacks. So what some cybersecurity experts fear is that this will in some sense distract from some of the larger policy discussions taking place, whether that's requiring businesses to up their security measures, whether that's imposing new regulatory measures on cryptocurrency, or whether that's working with allies to try to pressure some of these groups into stopping what they're doing. So this has just added a new layer of complexity to all of those discussions.
Our cybersecurity reporter, David Uberti. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Amanda.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.